Dr. Karen Hardy talk on family planning and HIV/AIDS. Dr. Karen Hardy is the Vice President for Research at Population Action International and is a social demographer with extensive experience in population development, family planning and reproductive health, HIV/AIDS, and gender integration. Prior to joining PAI, Dr. Hardy was senior advisor at John Snow, Inc., where she managed a project on harmonization of data quality tools for multiple donors, including the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, TB, and Malaria, the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS, and other donors. She's also worked at Family Health International, USAID, and the U.S. Bureau of the Census as a Presidential Management Fellow. Dr. Hardy is also the Population Section Chair.
That just voted to take family planning out of its name, so perhaps I'm a failure as the section chair in terms of this topic. Thank you very much, Jason. Excuse my voice. I'm feeling a lot better when I start sounding like this, so but bear with me as I get through the presentation. I also don't have the formal the disclosure slide, but I just want to say formally that I have no personal financial relations associated with this presentation. I'm just going to have a brief introduction, and then I want to talk about family planning in PEPFAR, and I want to talk about sexual reproductive health in the Global Fund, evidence to support integration, and finally, some recommendations. In a working paper that I wrote with a colleague at FHI just a few months after the 1994 International Conference on Population and Development, ICPD, in Cairo, we wrote, this was a working paper called From Rhetoric to Reality, Delivering Reproductive Health Promises Through Integrated Services. We wrote, and I quote, at a minimum, country-level RH programs are likely to include family planning, maternity care, STD, HIV services, and some type of abortion-related care. In 2008, in an internal review that the World Health Organization did on SRH in Global Fund rounds 1 through 7 proposals, the first sentence in the review says, HIV/AIDS is seen as a communicable disease and is often not associated with reproductive health. So notice a couple of things, a different perspective. HIV as part of reproductive health, which we all thought at coming out of Cairo, and the opposite, that HIV is not even associated with reproductive health. And also, with the use of the term reproductive health, family planning gets buried. Karen Newman, who was a longtime women's rights and reproductive rights advocate who worked at the International Planned Parenthood Federation at the time of the Cairo conference, who's recently started working at the Population and Development Network in the UK, recently gave a presentation at a meeting of it's called the Eurongos, the European NGOs supporting sexual reproductive health and rights. And she gave the same presentation at my organization, PAI, just a couple of weeks ago, and she said, after Cairo, we assumed family planning would take care of itself, but it really hasn't. So where are we with family planning in the era of AIDS? Let me talk a little bit about family planning in PEPFAR right now. We all know that PEPFAR has been the largest public health investment that the U.S. has made, and it really has yielded tremendous results in terms of treatment, tremendous results. But we also know that preventing unintended pregnancy should be an important part of HIV prevention efforts, particularly in preventing mother-to-child transmission. Research suggests that the absence of contraceptive use in sub-Saharan Africa, if contraceptive use wasn't what it has been, that the number of the percent of HIV-positive births would be 31% higher than it is now. CDC reported in 2006 in some work that they were doing in Uganda in ART clinics that 92% of the women coming in pregnant said those pregnancies were unintended pregnancies. USAID has funded research showing that adding contraceptive services to PMTC programs makes it easier for women to avoid those unintended pregnancies can prevent almost twice the number of child HIV infections and 3 times the number of child deaths as can PMTC programs that just rely on testing and then use of nevirapine. It's not that PEPFAR is against family planning, it's just that they won't pay for it. They see family planning, like nutrition and some other things, as what they call a wraparound program that somebody else should pay for, even though we know that the contribution of reducing unintended pregnancies to HIV prevention is really large. But the question is, how can integration and these use of funds for wraparound programs, how can that happen with when the funding trends are so dramatic? The green line on this slide, of course, is what's been happening with HIV funding. This is just 2003 to 2008, and some of the more recent figures are budget requests, but it really is dramatic. You can see that family planning funding for family planning programs has declined 40%. Since 1995, basically just after the Cairo conference, adjusted for inflation, despite the fact that the women of reproductive age has grown roughly by 275 million women. One reason the integration of HIV and family planning is so important is PEPFAR's policy restricting what it can purchase and for whom. PEPFAR buys condoms only for those at high-risk individuals, and it can't purchase contraceptives for HIV for the reduction of unintended pregnancies among HIV-positive women. The new PEPFAR legislation recently passed is what we call silent on family planning. There was a lot in the draft bill on family planning, but it was in the last minute sort of horse trading that takes place on Capitol Hill. It was taken out. And in fact, I just moderated a session on HIV, family planning, HIV integration on Monday, and somebody working in Kenya said that they were doing an integration project that was funded by PEPFAR, and they got defunded just recently for their project because PEPFAR said, no, you can't actually use our funding for this program where they're trying to train providers, HIV providers, on family planning, and they were told they couldn't use that money. There's a study that's being done by FHI to look at the status of integrated programs in PEPFAR countries, not necessarily funded by PEPFAR, but in PEPFAR countries. And it's a little bit discouraging. They're finding that there's a lot of misconceptions about methods that HIV-positive women can use. So there really isn't a lot of need for training, job aids, and more trained providers. Let me move on to talk about SRH in the Global Fund. The Global Fund to Fight AIDS, TB, and Malaria has always permitted sexual reproductive health activities as long as they were tied to improving the health outcomes, HIV, in this case HIV outcomes. And over the past couple of rounds, they've become more explicit about allowing SRH integration. But the Global Fund doesn't have a framework for what they mean by sexual reproductive health. A number of international organizations have been working on this linkages framework to help countries figure out what they can do. But there's nothing in the key linkages about reducing unintended pregnancies, only about learning your HIV status, promoting safer sex, optimizing connections between HIV and STI services, and integrating HIV with maternal and infant health. In other words, SRH writ broadly with focusing on condoms for dual protection rather than promoting a range of contraceptives. Another consortium has produced guidelines for countries on integration of SRH into country proposals. And a number of groups, including my own PAI, are working with selected countries to actually get integration into the proposals. But from what I've seen reading the proposals, reducing unintended pregnancies and family planning other than promoting condoms is either missing or is buried under the SRH, the very broad SRH language in proposals. So even in PMTCT programs, you can't really tell what's actually being integrated. WHO did an internal analysis of Global Fund proposals rounds one, which is the first round, rounds one through seven, and they looked at 214 grants that were actually awarded to countries in 122 countries, and they reviewed for this list of things: VCT, PMTCT, gender-based violence, sexual health counseling, STRTI, family planning, safe abortion, and prevention messages. But what they found is, and this is just some of the selected results, is that there was a lot on SRH in the proposals, but again, it was hard to see what it actually was, and nothing on contraceptives, but there was something on condom promotion and distribution as duly protective. But even if you look at that, there were only 24 proposals that even had that in it, or 11%. So we have a long way to go. And their conclusion, I think, was really misleading, because they said, given that sexual reproductive health is so broadly defined, they said 99% of HIV grants in rounds 1 through 7 included SRH integration. But again, it's such a broad definition that it's very misleading, and particularly about family planning. This is just from, I just want to show you this from a recent policy brief that the Deliver Project put together, saying that our latest information is that no country is using the global funds to procure contraceptives other than condoms, even though the global fund says that their grant money can be used to support contraceptive procurement. And I actually, as I was here at this conference on Monday, I think it was, they just sent out another policy update saying, in fact, Rwanda has requested contraceptives in their global fund grants. So we'll see if that comes to pass. Just turning a little bit about a recent study that's been done on the evidence to support integration. And this is something, again, it was linked to that linkages framework that I showed you on sexual reproductive health. And it was a Cochrane type review that is just coming out right now, and looked at data from 1990 to 2007. They found 10 peer-reviewed programs and 16 promising programs that weren't in the peer review literature, but final reports were ready. Mostly these were in Africa, and 13 of them looked at family planning integrated into HIV, and 9 looked at HIV integrated into family planning, and 4 were simultaneous integration. And the sponsors of this, again, were WHO, UNFPA, IPPF, UNAIDS, and UCSF. But again, the key findings, and again, looking at because it's linked to that framework, were access to and uptake of services, including HIV testing, health and behavioral outcomes, again, condom use, knowledge of HIV and STI, and overall quality of services. No outcome really on family planning was highlighted, or reducing unintended pregnancy, even though 6 of the studies measured contraceptive use. So just moving on to recommendations, family planning, we all know this, really is just getting buried in SRH. And we really think we need to be more explicit about family planning in and of itself, and really look at some of the frameworks that we're developing for integration to make sure that family planning is actually talked about. And working on family planning, not just through HIV/AIDS, because again, you know, there are some countries where the integration is really important, but there are a lot of countries where family planning is being hinged on integration in countries with really low HIV prevalence rates. And we have to sort of take a step back and say, does that really make the most sense? And I think once we hear Suzanne Petroni's presentation, my last bullet that we have increased opportunity right now with the attention being paid to population, not just with climate change, but with the food shortages and a lot of other things that we're hearing about in the news, to really reiterate the need for voluntary family planning. Thank you.
I think we have time to take a question or two from the floor, if there's anybody who'd like to ask a question to Karen Hardy.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yes. SRH is sexual reproductive health.
Got
that. Okay. PEPFAR is the president's. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Just
That's true. The question was in Congress that there's the sense that there's this open hostility even to the use of the word family planning. Then let's change our terminology, talk about contraceptive access or something else. Our European colleagues use sexual reproductive health and rights. If you think family planning is a problem on Congress, try that one. No, it's absolutely deeper because of the link, of course, thinking that family planning means abortion. And I think we have a lot to do in our field, this is my personal opinion, of delinking those things. Not supporting choice, but really talking about family planning in its own right. Yeah. I think that's excellent. And this is Sally Craig. You were working with MSH, and MSH has a contract from USAID to actually work with country coordinating mechanisms, which are part of the Global Fund architecture, to strengthen those mechanisms, but also to strengthen proposals. So this is maybe a request to you guys to make sure that, again, what's being integrated in proposals actually really is evidence-based and talks about family planning. And buy some of those contraceptives. Absolutely. There is no reason that the Global Fund, that proposal shouldn't have more condoms and contraceptives. It really is a huge opportunity, especially with all the restrictions under PEPFAR. The Global Fund is a mechanism if it can be well documented in proposals. And the other thing is, the Global Fund works through the TRP, which is their technical review panel, and those are external experts who recommend to the Global Fund which proposals should be funded. So volunteer to be on the TRP, get yourself elected on the technical review panel so that we have experts in reproductive health, family planning, who can actually evaluate the proposals.